Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll be looking at verses 17 through 19 this morning. But I will begin at verse 15 for context and read through verse 23. Let's go before the Lord once again in prayer. Father, as we consider your word, we pray that your Spirit would open our understanding to its truth. We pray that you would grow and encourage us by what we hear today. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. 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 Well, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. This is the word of God written for you and for me today. Please give it your careful attention as it is read. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May he add his blessing to the reading of his word to us. Well, beloved in Christ, praise and thanksgiving should be in our prayers. And having a thankful heart will also lead us to pray for others. This is what was true for Paul. This is what should be true for all of God's people. This is true for you and me today. As we recognize more and more of what God has done for us, we are thankful. And likewise, as we see the fruit of his work in his people, we should be ceaseless in our thanks for them and be moved to pray for them. We have good grounds to do so, do we not? Paul taught us that our thanksgiving shouldn't be grounded in hearing reports that our brothers and sisters have heard the glorious doctrines in Scripture that Paul mentioned in his previous prayer, and then passing that knowledge to others without it impacting their lives. No, we are deeply thankful as we hear of and witness biblical doctrine taking root in their hearts and bearing fruit in their lives. And what should we be thankful for? For in that which we see in them. Though there were many things that the Lord was doing in the lives of the Ephesian saints, what specifically drew Paul to joyful thanksgiving was the report of their faith in Jesus Christ and their love for his people. We too should be drawn to joyful thanksgiving when we witness these two gifts from God in our brethren. But God worked in Paul to go beyond being thankful, didn't he? His thanksgiving led to fervent prayer for the people. Remember that while Paul blessed God for giving his people the Holy Spirit, He didn't cease in praying that God would give even greater measures of the Spirit. And while we hear good things of our Christian friends, we should be fervent to intercede with God for them that they may abound and that they may increase more and more in grace. And in today's text, Paul shifts from thanksgiving to petition. He shifts from thanksgiving to petition, and we will consider the beginning of Paul's petitions to the Father of glory. His prayer for God's illumination of the hearts and minds of his people. His prayer for what God would give and grow in them. Of what God would cause to abound and increase more and more in us. He prayed first that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and knowledge in verse 17. He prayed for enlightenment of their understanding in verse 18. And Paul prayed the people would know the greatness of God's power toward them in verse 19. And so let's begin looking at verse 17, where Paul says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So, my friends, Paul here continues to call upon the Trinity so that his people would know their Savior, Jesus Christ, more and more. Isn't that such a wonderful petition? Isn't that such a wonderful petition? For Paul was thankful. He was thankful for their faith and love. And yet, what did he desire beyond that? He wanted them to grow in knowledge and wisdom. Paul wanted them to grow in knowing Jesus. In verse 17, we have the answers to three important questions. Who did Paul pray would give to his people? Who would illuminate their hearts and minds? And who would grow them in the knowledge? And who would they learn and even increase in the knowledge of? First, we see that he prays that the Father would give. And he speaks of the Father as the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory. Now, why does Paul speak of him as the God of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if you recall, Paul used very similar language back in verse 3 when he ascribed a blessing to God, saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." In verse 3, Paul used those words to indicate both Christ's humanity and his divinity. He is the incarnate God. He is God in the flesh. He is 100% God. He is 100% man. And here in verse 3, Paul used those words to indicate both his humanity and his divinity. And again in verse 17, he is doing the same thing. However, in verse 17, Paul adds the Father of glory. God is infinitely glorious in himself, beloved. All glory is also due to him from his creatures. And further, Scripture teaches us that Christ is the full reflection of the glory of God. God glorifies him most in the person and work of his Son. But what did Paul pray that the Father would give us in 17b? He prayed that he would give us the spirit of wisdom and knowledge. And this too is wonderful. As God expands our understanding of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We see this progression even in this chapter, don't we? Remember that in verses 13 and 14, we were taught about the sealing work of the Holy Spirit, as well as the fact that he is the guarantee of our inheritance in glory. And here Paul says that he is the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of knowledge. And it's important to know, and remember that God is the God of knowledge. There is no saving knowledge apart from him. And therefore, we must look to him for it. So praise God that he gives it to us here in Christ, and that he gives it here to us through his Holy Spirit. And this gift is important for God's people. For without the Spirit, we can't have true heavenly wisdom and knowledge. We wouldn't even know what it is. The natural man who doesn't have the Spirit may know some things. He may even be fairly well versed in Christianese, so to speak. But he is truly spiritually blind and lacks deep understanding. Listen to Paul's words to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, where Paul explains this very thing. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Let that sink in for a moment, beloved. Not only the reality of the fact that the Spirit works in us that we would have such discernment, but that the wonderful gift that that is to you and to me. For in Christ, our eyes are opened by the Holy Spirit. Our eyes are open to see things that we wouldn't otherwise see. The Pharisees knew much about the Scriptures, and they said much to other people, but they were blind as bats to the things of God, because the Spirit had not opened their eyes. The Spirit had not enlightened their understanding. But this is the very thing that Paul is praying that God would do in us, and he will do in us through his Spirit. John Calvin says this, "Till the Lord opens them, the eyes of our heart are blind. Till the Spirit has become our instructor, all that we know is folly and ignorance. Till the Spirit of God has made it known to us by a secret revelation, the knowledge of our divine calling exceeds the capacity of our own minds." We can't know Jesus. We can't know our beloved Savior. We can't even have a concern to know our beloved Savior in the relationship that he calls us to, apart from the work of the Spirit in our hearts. But yet, because of the work of the Spirit in our hearts, we have that yearning. We have that desire. It's a God-given desire. Paul's desire that this would be true in the people of God was wonderful. It was good. They knew when they were saved, they knew their God in many ways. As he had regenerated them, as he has regenerated us, as he has saved us, as he has given us faith. But yet Paul wanted him to know, they wanted them to know him more and more. And he tells us that the Holy Spirit is perfect wisdom, and he gives wisdom. He's perfect wisdom. He's the definition of wisdom. And he gives wisdom. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, listen to this. "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Beloved, remember what Scripture teaches us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? It's the beginning of knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But how does the Holy Spirit give us wisdom? Well, he blesses us with spiritual and heavenly wisdom. He teaches us how it is distinct from earthly wisdom, and then helps us to walk wisely in it. In James chapter 3, the Spirit teaches us that God's people aren't to be those who are envious, self-seeking, and boastful. That is earthly and demonic wisdom, James says. But rather, heavenly wisdom is this. It's first pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, It's willing to yield. It's full of mercy and good fruit. It's without hypocrisy. That is what spiritual wisdom is. That is what heavenly wisdom, the wisdom from above, is. And this is the very wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives us. But also we know from this verse that he is, the Spirit is, knowledge. He possesses all knowledge. He's omniscient. And he reveals truth. Consider what Paul said to the church in Corinth in chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. He said, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might, note, know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Do you hear this today? Do you hear that? God has given us his Spirit that we would know his gifts and blessings. God has given us his Spirit that we would know his Son, Jesus Christ. And so Paul's prayer was that the Spirit would make the people spiritually wise as well as grow them in the knowledge of Christ. And Paul desired that the Spirit would show them Jesus, that he would teach them more about their Savior. Jesus told his disciples that the Spirit would do so in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. And there we read, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, and therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Paul had this same desire that he is communicating to the Ephesians. He had the same desire for the Colossians. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So the knowledge of God's will, my friends, the knowledge of God's saving purposes in Christ is what's in view here. The Spirit of God applies those purposes in our lives every day by his grace. The Spirit testifies with our spirits that we are sons and daughters of God. And as the Holy Spirit reveals the truth of God to us, he grows us in knowing him. And not just knowing about him. Paul's desire was that our knowledge would increase and abound, not just knowing about the living God, but knowing the living God in relationship, in covenant relationship with him. It is a wonderfully unique blessing and relationship that we, the people of God, have with the living God. And we wouldn't just know surface things about him. We wouldn't just know roughly some facts about him. But that we would be engaged in an intimate relationship with him and our Savior. And so Paul's prayer was that we would receive the Spirit with a purpose. And he tells us what that purpose is in verse 18. In 18a, he says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." Consider these words from Psalm 119, verses 17 and 18. "Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Remember, the eyes in Scripture are referring to the doorway, so to speak, of spiritual understanding. For those who don't belong to Christ, their eyes are shut. They are blind to the knowledge of God. However, God has opened the eyes of his people. We see through the eyes of faith. And with the Spirit's help, we can understand and grow in our understanding. We have received light, but we need more light and desire more light in our hearts and minds. And the Spirit does just that as he gives us more insight into his revealed word and deepens our personal relationship with him. But what does Paul specifically desire us to understand? What does Paul specifically desire that we would be enlightened to? He desired us to understand more of the hope that we have, verse 18b, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. My friends, regarding the hope of his calling in Christ and with the guarantee of the Holy Spirit, we look forward with hope. We've talked about that a lot here in the recent weeks, haven't we? But again, notice that Paul drives this home more and more. We look forward with hope, having confident expectation of future glory in which God calls us to. This is all tied in, right, with the work of the Holy Spirit, who seals, who is our guarantee, not out of our, even of our inheritance now that we have the rights to, but that which is to come in glory, which we will possess. And so in speaking of that inheritance, Paul also desired that the people would know the riches of the glory of his inheritance. And this is a further explanation of that hope. We are to grow in the knowledge of God. We are to grow in our knowledge of Christ. We are to grow in our understanding of the hope of his calling. We are to grow in the understanding and the riches of the glory of his inheritance. And on the one hand, we've already obtained that inheritance as we are united to Christ. And however, we haven't taken full possession of it yet. But that is our hope. That is a part of our hope. But how do these riches come to us? Notice verse 19. They come to us through God's might and power. Through God's might and power. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? My friends, how exceedingly great is our God. How strong and how supremely powerful and mighty he is. God is the Almighty. There is none who even comes remotely close to matching his power. His power is infinite. He is omnipotent. His greatness surpasses everything. And this is something that we again bow down and praise him for. But notice that Paul doesn't pray that God would open our understanding merely to have more appreciation or awe of his power and might in general. Clearly, that's warranted. But Paul here connects God's power to the hope that he just mentioned, as well as to his power in the resurrection of Christ that he will speak of in the verses after. And we will consider the latter more next week, Lord willing. But consider this. Without God's power, there is no hope. The hope of his calling would never be realized. John Calvin again says this, Paul's object, therefore, was not only to impress the Ephesians with a deep sense of the value of divine grace, but also to give them exalted views of the glory of Christ's kingdom, that they may not be cast down by a view of their own unworthiness. He exhorts them to consider the power of God, as if he had said, that their regeneration was no ordinary work of God, but was an astonishing exhibition of his power. Indeed, it was. Paul here speaks of the exceeding greatness of his power, notice, towards us who believe. And that's an important phrase. Why is it important? Well, Paul desired that God's people would grow in clarity of understanding of his awesome power in our salvation, his power in sustaining and sanctifying us. God creates faith by applying the divine power of Christ's resurrection to his people. Remember Paul's words to Corinth and take them to heart from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Remember those words. Write down that reference. Study that this week, I encourage you. Think about it. God commands the gospel to shine in the hearts of sinners with sovereign, irresistible life. Truly, to know him, to know God, is to see Jesus. To see God's glory is to see the face of Jesus Christ. And so, beloved, my prayer for you is that the Holy Spirit would illumine each one of your hearts and minds with much wisdom and much knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you would truly know him and grow in knowing him more and more every day. Growing in our knowledge and relationship with Christ is a truly wonderful journey, a journey that will never end. It is a journey that will never exhaust us, but it will only fill us with more joy and wonder as we walk with him. But my prayer is also that you would truly know the hope of his calling. Though this life is full of struggle and hardship, never doubt your Savior or his promises. Look and march forward with hope, having confident expectation of the future glory to which God calls you to. And I also pray that God would recognize his awesome, that you would recognize God's awesome power in your salvation and sanctification. And why? So that you can be encouraged, and that you can encourage one another, so that you can further be bolstered in your hope and built up in your hope, that you can understand what is waiting for you on the other side of glory, and that knowing this, being encouraged in this way, helps us when we are going through all sorts of trials, when we're going through all sorts of troubles. What could be better to give us hope than to look to Jesus, to know more of the exceedingly great power and might of our God? And I encourage you today, have these same desires and pray accordingly for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's encourage one another. Let's take one another before the throne of grace, praying that this enlightening would be true in their hearts as well. Amen. Praise God for his word. Let's pray together.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.